Oh man, what a wonderful thing to behold. Just the little ones getting involved during the Christmas season. They're already excited about getting presents and just being with family and of course candy and all that stuff that they way too much indulge in. But it's awesome to see our kids getting involved on why we celebrate. Why they should get excited. What is the hope and the gift that we have been given? The greatest hope and the greatest gift that we've been given. So it's incredible to witness them getting involved and being a part of this celebration that the child has come. Emmanuel, God with us. So when we started, we found ourselves in the midst of the creation narrative. If you guys remember, we've been going through this series called God with Us. And when we started from the very beginning. So in the beginning, God created. In the midst of that beginning, mankind had succumbed to their own desires to usurp the authority of their Creator and sought their own way. Mankind had thus sinned. That which was lost to mankind was of the highest value, and that was life with God. Mankind no longer able to dwell in the midst with God due to their sin and due to His holiness. Out into the darkness, out into death, guilty as charged. A glimpse of hope, that was all that was remaining in the midst of the garden. We witnessed how mankind became excessively wicked, and sin was upon their minds continually. That which we witnessed was that if hope was to come, it would not and could not come through their own efforts nor the will of mankind, as mankind was wicked from their very youth. Salvation and hope would have to come through another means. Mankind in and within himself was not able to redeem himself. The recreation happened through the flood, eradicating wickedness from the face of the earth by killing all living creatures upon the earth with the weight of his water, judgment, and glory. Noah and his family, finding favor of God, thus were baptized from death of the flood to new life and covenant with God. But still, sin reigned in the hearts of mankind. Sin had robbed mankind from all which was good and holy and eternal. Sin had fractured that which was proclaimed good by God. Mankind could not achieve redemption. Their hearts are dead in sin. That which was dead cannot come back to life. Salvation would have to come in no other way through God Himself. We saw how God alone delivered the Israelites from their bondage to Egypt. He proclaimed it to them that He came down to lift His people up from their bondage, and that they would be His people and He would be their God. God came down to lift them up. Mankind had fallen. Mankind could not be lifted up by their own merits. They were cut off unless death and sin had been removed from them. The deliverance of the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt is a glowing type of the coming deliverance of the people of God from the bondage of sin and death. Death would pass over them by the blood of the Lamb. God would dwell with His people in the midst of their lives, in their wandering in the wilderness of this life. God would provide for their needs, providing living water for their soul and the bread of life for their lives. God would dwell in the midst of His people while in the wilderness, traveling with them every single step, sojourning before them in protection, behind them in deliverance from condemnation, and within them in affirmation. God tabernacled with His people to deliver them through the weight from Adam that bore upon the backs of His people, unable to cross on their own merits, but by the cross of Christ would be able to walk into the kingdom on dry ground. The weight by which that was burdened down upon humanity coming down from Adam, we could not cross alone. But it was by the cross of Christ that allowed us to cross over into the kingdom on dry ground. Then we witness the showcase of the temple. The eternal throne given to the line of David, that the true Davidic king would come and establish his kingdom forever. A kingdom that could not be lost. A kingdom that would never be stripped away because the king, the federal headship, the great high priest, would secure it forever as a propitiation for sin once and for all. But the temple was also a type, pointing to something greater, pointing to someone greater, pointing to Emmanuel, God with us. So why do we celebrate the virgin birth of Christ? Why is it that in the midst of winter, when all that life is around us seems to be without life or dormant, that we have joy within our hearts and in our homes? Why do we sing these songs and rejoicing to a child in the manger? Because our hope is made manifest in the hope that was promised in the very beginning. We're going to find ourselves in John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John chapter 1. John uses a particular introduction to Christ that I find absolutely imperative for us to understand as we've taken this journey from the beginning of creation to where we are now. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Out of all of the Gospels that we could observe, John decides to introduce us to Jesus, instead of in a manger, but on a throne. One who is a king, one who is God. And he takes us that which is to the beginning to showcase the faithfulness of God. So notice the language here in the Gospel of John. What is he wanting us to draw our attention to? The same language is that of the creation narrative itself, which is found in Genesis, right where we started from. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, man. Not in the beginning, ancient aliens. Not in the beginning, whatever you want to fill in the blank with. But in the beginning, God. He is the beginning. He is the end. The Alpha and the Omega. The one who created you is the one who will save you from your end. From the beginning, sin had brought death to all. The sin of one man brought death to all mankind. But this beginning will be different. The beginning that we see in John will be different. This seed of the woman would be different than Adam. He would be a greater Adam. The second Adam would not bring death into all, but would bring life unto all. Which brings us to our first point. Life from death. This child in the manger brings us life from death. This is what happened when death comes into the picture. Death came to our nature. Death came to our nature. What happened in the garden fractured humanity. It bent our will to that of the desire of the flesh and to sin continually. Romans 8 showcases the two differences between somebody who is alive in Adam and someone who is alive in Christ. A battle between the flesh, which sins continually and desires to satisfy that flesh, as opposed to one who is in the Spirit. That's what happens when death came into the earth, when it came into the world through Adam. It fractured our nature. Death came upon your life. You were not designed to die. Mankind was not designed to experience death. This is why grieving is so strange to us. Whenever we experience grief at the passing of a loved one, it's weird. We don't understand it. We don't know why we're mad. We don't know why we're sad some days. We don't even know why we're bargaining it sometimes or even regretting. We don't understand it. We weren't supposed to experience that. This is why losing a loved one is so hurtful. Because a person was not supposed to experience that. That's why it hurts. Death came in to take claim upon all our lives. Mothers give birth. Do you know that increase in pain in childbirth? It's not just a physical thing. It's knowing that a mother carries his beautiful child, gives birth, knowing that that child will die one day. That is the increased burden upon a mom. Death came upon your relationships. When death entered the picture, death ruined our relationships. It separated you from God. It separated you from other image bearers. There's animosity. Romans 1 calls us enemies to God. We hate Him when we come into this world. We hate Him. We are enemies. We are animosity with Him and with each other. And the reason violence and destruction and death and murder comes this way is because of that animosity towards another image bearer. If you hate God, you hate the image bearer too. So when death came through relationships as well. Our marriages are difficult because of this. Selfishness creeps in, causes division. But the baby in the manger, the God incarnate, would bring life. Life came to redeem your nature. Remember Romans 8. It showcases a difference. Whenever you die and are buried and crucified with Christ, your nature is changed. You are no longer under that which is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit. Your nature is changed. Life came to redeem your life. The greater Adam would not bring death to all, but by his death he would come and give life to all. No more sadness or sorrow at the coming of our finality. This is temporal. When we die, we cross over into the kingdom, eternal. It is temporal. Life came to redeem your relationships. God came down to bring you back up to Himself. You didn't do it on your own. Christ came that He redeems His people back into Himself. Our picture of our marriages are a gospel proclamation to the world. A gospel proclamation to the world. And whenever you find yourself living in the Spirit, you bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Do you notice how all of those are outward fruits? They're not internal. They're all needing somebody else to taste it. So whenever life came, He brought life back to your relationships. The baby in the manger, the greater Adam, the Son of God, would bring not death, but life. This is the next thing He brought. He brought light from darkness. He brought light from darkness. Continuing in John 1. The true light, we're in verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came into His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in the beginning, God, and in the beginning, God secures you. When Christ came into this world, He came to bring life, and He's the one who secures you. Mankind could not do it. The one born in the manger would be the light to the world. So here's the thing about darkness. Darkness prevents you from clearly seeing that which surrounds you. In the darkness, your reality is distorted. You are not able to determine that which brings death to you and to your soul. Clawing your way through this life, hoping to cling to something of substance that you may understand this life. Isn't it strange how darkness feels? You're feeling around to gain your bearings. Now, if you're in your home, you, well, all right, this is the couch. I know if I go this way, I get to the bathroom, whatever. But try living life where you have no variances. Clawing at things. Alright, this makes sense. With suffering. Does this make sense on why I don't feel love? Does this make sense about depression and anxiety? Clawing their way, trying to find how to make sense of this world. Darkness prevents you from clearly seeing that which surrounds you. Darkness also distorts your vision. It distorts your vision. Anyone been scared of the dark as a child? Still scared of the dark? When you're a kid, you're lying in bed, and you swear whenever your mom turns the light off that toy that was sitting on the dresser is now a monster. Darkness distorts the vision. You know it's a toy as a kid, but you're blinded by your fear of it. The darkness has a way of distorting your vision to keep you in fear. Fear is what makes slaves in bondage. Fear is what keeps slaves in bondage. We saw what was used in Egypt to keep the Israelites where they were. Fear. Fear of leaving. Fear of going out on their own. Fear of getting provision. Fear of Noah having a place to stay. Fear is what keeps you in bondage. Darkness causes that. Darkness also causes you to stumble. Causes you to stumble. When you are living in darkness, you will fall. But you'll have no idea how it is you fail. Why am I the way that I am? Why am I not able to get this right? I feel like I'm lost, wandering in the dark, tripping along the way. Your life, do you feel that way this morning? I'm trying to make it through life, but I just keep falling. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand the way that I am. I can't figure it out. There's a reason it's called shadow of death in Psalm 23. Because your obstruction is blocking the light. It's blocking you from seeing the reality in Christ. What is it in your life that is causing death to overshadow you? Though the first Adam brought darkness into creation, the greater one would bring light. As He is the light to the world, light brings illumination to that which surrounds you in the dark. No longer are you clawing your way through this life. No longer are you reaching at things trying to make sense. What's this anxiety about? Why am I this way? You're not clawing anymore because you can see. You can see. Light clarifies the vision and shows you the way because He is the way. No more distortion, but a clear and narrow path in your wilderness of life, guiding you to the kingdom. No longer are you trying to figure this thing out. No longer are you grasping at things, trying to make your way in this life, because He illuminates your path. And you keep your eyes on Christ, and He will guide you. He will make your path straight. Life shows you that which causes you to stumble and fall. By grace, you will see that which seeks to ensnare you and seeks your death. You will understand why. You will see the sin in your heart. The Holy Spirit has been given to you to reveal all that is truth and righteousness. So you will see it. You will no longer have to wander around trying to figure that out. And Christ is the reality of life, that we are no longer in fear of the shadow of death, as we know the light of mankind is eternal life. No more separation from the light, but by faith knowing that we will not fear evil. That shadow of death, you don't have to fear it, because you know the light. You're not fearing it anymore. So we hope in the child who is the light of the world and brings light to all mankind. John 1, verse 16. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. Do you remember what happened in the garden when Adam sinned? That separation. They were cast out, cut off. Mankind even couldn't make it back. Cut off. But God chose to come and make Himself known to the people. God came down. which is number three. He brought the fullness of grace. Do you know what Adam brought to all mankind? Do you know what Adam brought to us all? We are all guilty as charged. We are all guilty. Adam being the federal head of all mankind, his sin has made us all guilty, all with sin. David even proclaims in Psalm 51 that in sin my mother conceived me. So when we are born in the seed of Adam. We are born bearing that guilt. We are guilty because we sin. That's what Adam brought to you. You just being born into this world are now guilty. Doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem right. Adam brought it to you. Found in slavery. Adam brought bondage to us all. Adam subjected himself and all of us under headship of sin and death. Our birthright sold for a piece of forbidden fruit. The posterity, every single person in Adam, your birthright to the kingdom and communion with God was sold for a piece of fruit on a tree. Enslaved to the one who would brought death upon us all. We do things we don't want to do. We are powerless to our flesh when we are in Adam. No longer to do any good. We are making bricks for a kingdom we will never possess. We are making bricks for a kingdom we will never possess. Destined to die. We are destined to die. God created mankind as an eternal being as He gave life to mankind through His Spirit. Ecclesiastes 3:9-11 showcases that echo eternity. Eternity echoes in our hearts. Only that the Spirit would not remain with mankind forever. Man became an eternal being who would taste death. He destined us all to die. That we would taste it. We were not designed to taste it, but now we're going to taste it. But the one who lay in the manger in Bethlehem would bring a gift that would be of infinite and eternal value. What did He bring? He brought grace to the guilty. He brought grace to the guilty. Christ took upon the punishment for sin. It became the propitiation or appeasement of God's wrath in our place. This child in a manger, born to us, given to us, would receive the fullness of the wrath of God for sin. But what we as mankind deserve, He took upon Himself as the Lamb of God was given. He gave us grace to set the captive free. We are all bound to slavery of sin. Our flesh reigns in our mortal bodies. But Christ died that we would set free from making bricks for a kingdom we would die in and never possess. Our flesh would succumb to death in Christ and would be crucified with Him, that we would no longer live by the flesh but by the Spirit. We are no longer bound by that fractured nature because it has been taken for you and you've been given something greater. Grace gave life to whom was destined to die. Christ suffered death in our place, that the blood of the Lamb of God would be applied to our hearts, that death would pass over us for all eternity. Do you remember the deliverance in the Passover in Egypt? It being a foreshadow. This time the blood of the Lamb would be applied to your heart, and death would eternally pass over you, because you have been sealed by the one who came to us. Amen. Our hope this Advent season came in a manger as the light to the dead, light to all mankind in darkness, and grace to the guilty. Our hope that we sing about and sing all these wonderful songs, and the kids up here giving the wonderful play that we so enjoy, our hope is knowing that He came to bring life to our death. He came that we may have light and not darkness, and that grace has been to apply to us who are guilty. So is that you today? Are you feeling that darkness? Are you feeling the pressure of that death? Are you bound up? Do you feel powerless? Do you feel like you can't break free of what that which holds you? Are you captive to your own sin? Are you making bricks? Trying to make something for yourself, knowing that it's not for you, but it's for the one who has enslaved you? Does the fear of the shadow of death overshadow you? Is that shadow that you're in scary? Are you fearful of it? Does the darkness surround you, causing your distorted vision, unable to see the good in life, but only the shadow of what is good? Does the star over Bethlehem bring you hope? Does the one in the manger to whom we celebrate stir within your heart to cause of repentance and joy? Why do we celebrate? Why is it we do all this? Because our hope has come. God came to us. God came down to lift His people up. Then join us as we celebrate God with us. Emmanuel. The God who came down to lift His people up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so in awe that in the beginning, You are all things. You have made all things. You have given all things. And now You've extended grace to us all. You've extended life to us all. You have extended light to us that we may not wander around in this life in darkness. You were before us and You walk behind us. You deliver us out of our bondage and of sin and death. And You protect us from the condemnation that may come upon us. We are thankful that You have sent Your Son. We are thankful that we're able to come together and celebrate a time that You came to us, that You came down to lift us up, because we could not lift ourselves up, for we were dead. We were without life, but You brought life to us. Thank You that we could celebrate this child. That the reason in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the day that is on one of the most darkest days of the year, we have light and hope. We have joy and warmth in our hearts, knowing that Emmanuel is here. Christ came to lift us up. Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would move upon us this morning to reveal in our hearts, for those of us that are here, that are succumbed to darkness, that darkness surrounds our vision, that You would bring the light to them, that they may see. No longer blinded by that which encapsulates them, that which enslaves them, but light that they may be free. Heavenly Father, I pray for those of us who feel dead this morning. That we can do no good. That we're making bricks. We don't know why. We just try and try and try and nothing is good enough. And we know that there's death in us. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that You will bring life to those hearts. That You will bring life to those lives who feel and are in death. Apply grace this morning to the guilty. You came to extend grace to us, though we were charged, guilty. We brought it upon ourselves, but You took it upon Yourself that You may set us free. You took the punishment upon Yourself to lift us up. That is why we celebrate. So Heavenly Father, be with us this morning. Showcase Your glory that You poured into Your Son. That when we step away from here and go about our week this week, we can say, you know why I rejoice? You know why I have joy? You know why I hope? Though death surrounds me, though enemies surround me, I have hope and life and life. And His name is Emmanuel. God with us. We are so thankful that You sent Him to us. be with us this morning. It is in Christ's wonderful and glorious name we say these things. Amen.
Study on our cults and the occults. And then Thursday night, we have our Christmas candlelight service, one of my favorite times of the year. I hope you'll come and join us either at 5:30 or 6:30 p.m. So I'd love to have you back for that. It'd be a great blessing for and if you're a guy, if you're a member here at Hillside, and you're going to be at that 5:30 service, or you're not sure yet, and you're just, maybe that would be a blessing, please come and talk to me. I need two more scripture readers. I'd love to use you for that. It's going to be a great time. So come back tonight and then Thursday evening for our candlelight services, 5:30 and 6:30. It'll be a great time as we celebrate the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. Let's close now. Let's stand together and close with a prayer this morning. Before we do so, we remember, because we have the good news of great joy, we all have a responsibility, Christians, and that's to go tell it on the mountain. So as always, let's close with the Great Commission, and then we'll close in prayer. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father God, Thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for this season and this celebration. God, be with everyone as they travel home. Keep them safe. We thank you and praise you. Be with everyone now. May you bless them, keep them. May your face shine upon them. May your peace be with them in this season as they look to the only reason for hope, the only reason for joy, Jesus Christ. And we say these things in his holy name. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.